Colin Russo, ESPN West Palm, with our BDB business of the month. Like to welcome in a good friend of program. He's involved with the BDB Association right here in downtown West Palm Beach in the Palm Beach County. Welcoming in J. Michael Prince, the president, CEO, board member of USPA Global, the U.S. Polo ASSN, joining us now. We appreciate it, Michael. How are you doing today?
Colin, I'm doing great. And by the way, I just want to thank you and the ESPN cast for all the great work you guys do for Palm Beach County, covering our amazing sports scene here.
And one thing about the sports scene that's really starting to blow up here is polo. And especially coming up this weekend and throughout, I guess, around the next month and a half, you're going to have a lot of action here. The season's ongoing from January to April. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of polo, because it's right in our backyard here in Palm Beach County.
You know, that's a great call out. So in West, I'll tell you a little bit about the brand and a little bit about the sport. So in West Palm Beach, people may not know this, but there's a $3 billion global sports brand based right here. And we have 190 countries we do business in, 1,200 retail stores. We're one of the largest sports licensors in the world. The only three that are bigger are the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA. Mm. We're bigger than hockey, bigger than golf, bigger than Major League Soccer. And we're going to catch Major League Baseball pretty soon. So within the next 3 to 5 years, watch out, baseball.
Wow.
We're coming for you.
This is a race. Okay.
It's a race. But all that's right here. The other thing that we have is we're the subsidiary of the United States Polo Association. And you mentioned polo. So polo was founded in the United States in 1890. So it's one of the oldest sports, governing body of sports in America. That's our official parent company. We're the official sports brand for the sport. And so we like to say our heritage dates back to the late 1800s. And then the last thing is the USPA, with our partnership, owns the USPA National Polo Center out in Wellington.
Right.
And it's 160 acres, six polo fields. There's U.S. Polo in Stadium Field 1, where the world's great games happen every Sunday. You'll have anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people out there on Sundays from all over the world watching the best polo players on the best horses play. And it's been a phenomenal season. We've had record crowds. We've had these unbelievable stories within the sport. We've had these legacy dynasties that have always dominated, but some new teams that have come out of nowhere with lower budgets and really competing with these world-class organizations and upsetting some of them. So really exciting. This Sunday, we've got the USPA Gold Cup. Mm. It's our second most important tournament in North America. And we're expecting a really good final. It's been sold out for weeks. It's going to be exciting. And it'll also be on ESPN as well, which we'll talk about in a little bit later.
Now, you talked about the global reach. It's home here in West Palm Beach. It's historics. We talked about that 1890, 190 countries in terms of the valuations and the money that's going through the actual sport itself, but also the brand. Yeah. The reach is unfathomable almost, and it's continuously expanding. Talk to me a little bit about, in your experience with USPA, the outreach, and how do you really target it? I mean, getting the word out there, you're already in 190 countries. Yeah. How do you accommodate something like that? How do you continue to expand something that's basically all over the world to begin with?
Well, you know what's interesting is I believe in authenticity. And you love sport, I love sport. And when I look through the world's lens, I say, you know, fashion comes and goes, but sport really lasts forever. And it's the one place where we can find common ground and debate and cheer for our teams, but we're all there being part of something special. And when I was a Nike executive for many years, when I saw this brand for the first time, I said, it's a beautiful untold story that needs to be told to the next generation of consumers and sports fans and athletes all over the world. So I started really talking about the authenticity of the brand and its deep connection to the sport of polo. And I started telling that story to 25-year-olds and younger, the next generation of consumers. So young millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha. And we've grown from roughly $1 billion in sales to now almost $3 billion. And a large percentage of that growth has come from that young demographic engaging with us, believing in us, and fighting for us as an authentic brand. The other thing that's interesting about the brand, we just became the largest brand in all of India. So wow. India has the largest population in the world of 1.5 billion people. 50% of the population is younger than 25. And now we're the number one brand for men's and number two for boys, which is an amazing feat. And we're also showcasing the sport of polo on India media outlets as well. So a great win for the brand, and that's happening all over the world, though.
And you've had a wonderful career. You've mentioned that you were involved with Nike, a bunch of these different corporations. One thing I want to talk about specifically, the brand versus the sport, right? This is one of the rare brands where it's directly attached to the sport itself. Nike, we think of all the great Nike athletes. You got running, you got football players, you got hockey, baseball, you got basketball players. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to one specific sport, whereas the Polo brand is attached to the sport itself. That's got to be something different from your perspective and your experience going up in your career. Does that create a little bit of an exclusivity, inclusivity? Tell me about that and the connection between the sport itself and the brand.
I think you hit it. I think it's, first of all, I think that it's the most organic, real authenticity you can have, right? You're the official sports brand for the sport that you love and you support. And, you know, you mentioned we're based in the United States, but we support polo all over the world. And some great examples of that, you know, we mentioned the Gold Cup. And then in April, one thing I want to make sure I get in is the U.S. Open Polo Championship, Colin. And it's one of the, it's the most important tournament in America and one of the most important tournaments in the world. And what I love about it, if you think about the spring schedule for sports, it's between, it's in between the Masters on Sunday,
yep,
and the Kentucky Derby. Usually the last weekend every year in April is the U.S. Open Polo Championship in beautiful Palm Beach County at the most beautiful polo facility in the world. And so, you know, being able to support those events domestically, but we also support the British Open, which is England's number one tournament. We support tournaments like Sada Grande and in Europe, events in Germany, events in India, all over the world. So I'd say not only are we the official brand of the sport here, but actually we do more for the sport than anybody else on the planet all over the world. And I think that gives us something unique. I think it's authentic. I believe it's authentic. And the other pieces we focus on are philanthropy and sustainability, which is really important to consumers today.
J. Michael Prince joining us now on ESPN's West Palms BDB Business of the Month, President, CEO, and Board Member of USPA Global with us now. Now, one thing about having a sport, getting eyes in front of it, right? You have a great, I guess, home environment, 5,000-8,000 people there every single Sunday, especially with the big events coming up. One thing that helps with it is you get ESPN involved. Obviously, we're us here at ESPN West Palm.
Love you guys.
We have also the national TV, you know, getting it in front of eyeballs. It is becoming a major mainstay of sports programming. Getting ESPN involved, getting personalities like Chris Fowler involved, who will be there not only this Sunday, but also at the championships about a month from now. Those conversations, those expansions, those relationships, tell me about how that came about.
Amazing relationship with ESPN. And we pitched the idea in 2022 to them to beta test. And they were kind enough partners to say, let's try this out. Neither side knowing for sure if it would work or not. And by the third beta test, they loved the content. They loved the sport. And we both agreed to do more together. So we've been building that platform. And over the years, we've done collegiate polo, which shows on ESPNU. We do, and that we show the national championship finals for men's and women's. We also do what's called the breakaway show. It'll cover polo in the Palm Beaches, women's polo, international polo. It's like a 30 for 30 type segment,
yeah,
segment, but for polo, we'll do that 4 to 5 times a year. We're actually doing a special America's 250th anniversary celebration since it's our country's 250th anniversary. That's going to be a special day run. And then we said, let's do 2 major broadcasts, the Gold Cup and the U.S. Open. Now, I was thinking, who would be the perfect fit for this sport? Knowing the players, knowing the sports fans, knowing the consumers of our brand. And I thought about every announcer literally on the planet. And I kept coming back to one legendary name, a true scholar and a gentleman and just the nicest person you'll ever meet, and that's Chris Fowler. And what I loved about Chris was on game day, national championship college football nights, unbelievable. But what I liked about him also is that he does Wimbledon.
He does all the U.S. Open. He's
he does
at ESPN.
The U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. So he's able to speak to a larger demographic just outside of one sport. And when we pitched him on the idea, he said, I'm all in. Let's do this. And so he did our U.S. Open championship last year, which was a phenomenal game. Great feedback on that. And then we talked this year, and he goes, we talked about doing more. And so now he's going to do the U.S. PA Gold Cup, which happens this weekend. And then he's going to do the U.S. Open Polo Championship, which happens the last Sunday in April as well. So we're just excited to have him. ESPN's been great. We did a global press release they pushed out. Chris did some amazing social media posts. He is fired up, ready to go. He loves the sport. He loves the people who watch it. And we're just excited to have him be part of the U.S. Polo Assistant family.
And one thing about Chris Fowler specifically that I think he's one of the best, if not the best in the world at, is he's great at hot and cold. And what I mean by that is college football Saturday night, if you know Clemson has a big runaway touchdown, you're going to hear it, all right? And Chris Fowler is very good alongside Kirk Herbstreit on those major game day broadcasts. You know, you feel it. And then there's times where you watch him at Wimbledon where you got to be quiet, and there's a sense of, you know, there's a decorum attached to, all right, this is like a golf event. This is a tennis event. And he's still excellent at doing the call. So he has that in-between the range that I think you need as a broadcaster that I think lends itself to the sport of polo.
That is a great call out. And then one other thing I want to mention globally, I think this is important. Once we built the ESPN relationship, the next move we did is we went to BN Sports in the Middle East and Europe and said, we'd like to put the same content on your platforms. Check. They were willing to do that with us. Then we went to Eurosport and TNT in England. Would you guys work with this as well in Europe? Absolutely. Check, did that. And then, you know, I talked about India earlier. Star Sports India is the largest. It's the ESPN equivalent of for India, basically.
Wow.
And they're putting polo for the first time. All this is the first time ever in history on their platform. And you'll sit alongside Wimbledon, F1, and Premier League Cricket. So now that 25-year-old consumer that sees us at retail, sees the brand, can now see us on television as they're sitting at home or watching on their streaming devices.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how about that? So all these conversations, and it's all based here in Palm Beach County.
That's exactly right.
And talk about the one thing I wanted to kind of build on is Palm Beach County. I mean, you as somebody who's worked here even the past 3 years, I mean, you go back a year and think about 5-10 years from now, 5-10 years ago, it's night and day, the amount of expansion that South Florida specifically, from even Miami all the way up to as north as Vero Beach, as just the expansion explosion, not only in sport, but people are coming here. People want to move to here. People want to bring their businesses here. That's why the BDB is so successful. From your perspective, seeing this from a perspective of putting out sport, putting out brand, eyeballs, getting understanding, outreach, right here locally, Palm Beach County, the growth that you have seen, the growth, the changes that you have seen, how it has impacted how you do your business and also with the sport.
You know, I want to tell a personal story on that real quickly. So when I moved down in 2016 from New York, so I'd been executive with Nike, with Converse, with Cole Haan, with Guess out in Los Angeles. And my family, I relocated to Palm Beach County, and I was running a very large business. You know, we thought at the time it was $1.5 billion. We're at three now. And I was looking for a way to give back. I think it's important to give back to your community. And from the business side, I was having a hard time finding what that meant and where I could do that. And I met a wonderful lady, Kelly Smallridge, who's the present CEO of the Business Development Board of Palm Beach County. And within 5 minutes, I'm like, this is where I'm going to spend any extra time I have to support her and the organization. And Colin, it's been a transformational change. I mean, I moved down in 16. A lot had changed before me. But we're seeing the best-in-class companies come down, best-in-class professionals, best-in-class of everything.
Universities.
And what happens is that we all strive to be better when you're around excellence. And so it elevates everything up. And you want to give back more, and you want to do more to support your community. But, you know, what's interesting about Palm Beach County, it's a really diversified business environment. Now, you'll have 2,500 financial services firm, but you'll have another 2,500 biotech, life science, and healthcare services firm. Sports tourism is a big business. We just had the largest AI quantum computing company in America move from California to Florida.
Wow.
To Palm Beach County. And that's just, there's 100 examples of that. And then even the BDB got a $1 million grant to help activate AI and quantum computing in Palm Beach County. And all that's just going to benefit, I always say, future generations of residents and students and, you know, anyone that's going to be associated with our county. So it's a really great thing. And I just want to thank the BDB sponsors, board members, executive committee for all they do to make this a greater place. And then my last comment is what I love about the BDB, Palm Beach County in particular, is that we can all have our differences, but this place finds common ground to move the community forward. We take our differences. We find out what works for both sides, and we execute. And it's a really special thing that, you know, it's hard to see across the country, across the world these days, and I'm very proud of that point.
The one thing I love about the BDB specifically is the inclusivity in part of it, because there are new businesses that are, you know, bringing the whole operation down here. And there are also businesses that are lifers and born and raised, developed in Palm Beach County. It's sort of that yin and yang attachment where they're just as welcome to the brand new business as they are to the business that has been here since, you know, 1990.
Yeah.
So that's why I think the range and diversity was a good word. The diversified, I guess, outlets of all the different businesses that are down here, whether it be in sport or not in sport, I think just adds to, I guess, the immense growth that this county has seen. So shout out to the BDB as well. A little bit about you, Michael, because you're an Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
You're an Oklahoma guy now, you know, running this, you know, empire of, you know, retail brand mixed with sport, being involved, you said, Nike, Converse, you know, fashion brands that have attachment to sport outside of sport. How do you get involved in something like this in the U.S. Polo ASSN at this point in your career? How did this all come about?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. So you'd asked me where I grew up, and I grew up in southeastern Oklahoma. And what's interesting about southeastern Oklahoma, it's a very poor part of the country. I mean, there's four or five key places throughout the country that, you know, is kind of poverty stricken. And I come from one of those areas. So if you'd asked me at this point in my life, would I be running a global sports brand? That was so far from my wildest dreams. But I think it shows that integrity, hard work, being kind to other people, doing your best, getting an education. The world's kind of your oyster, and there are no limits. I like to say about 8 Oklahoma, too, where I'm from, it's the home of Blake Shelton. So
yeah.
He's the famous one, right?
Have you ever run into Blake Shelton and had this conversation?
You know, I've not run into him in many, many years.
You got to get him to one of the games.
I should do that. Maybe do the national anthem. That's a great idea. And he'd probably do it. You know what? I'm gonna take you up on that. I'm gonna reach out to Blake and see if I can get him for next season. But you know, just things sort of evolved, and you know, I went to great schools and throughout my career, but I didn't have a passion for what I was doing. And then I had the opportunity. Nike had just purchased Converse. And they were looking for someone in the finance group to come in and help on the financial side. And I made that move, and I found an industry, and you hit on this, connected to sport, connected to consumer, connected to emotion, retail, international. You could touch it. You could feel it. And I just loved everything about it. And that just sort of progressed into a next step and a next step and a next step. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work with world-class athletes and great brands, and I've learned from the best. And I think that experience helped me in this position with this role with USPA to kind of come and objectively and think about the business world and the sports world and really elevate this thing up. And it's been a fun run, and I think the future's never been brighter.
Coming from New York, like you said, in 2016, down into Palm Beach County, was that associated strictly because of getting involved in USPA?
Yeah, you know, I saw the opportunity. And thought, you know what, this is really unique, and I think there's a great, great opportunity here. I love the sports brands. I've worked for different types of brands, lifestyle, but you know, I played sports growing up as a kid. I've always loved sports, and there's just something about being connected to sport. It gives you goosebumps. You're in it. You feel like you're competing every day, and so that was part of the transition. And then also, my wife's family had relocated here many, many years ago, so we were the last outstanding members of the family not to be in South Florida.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we made the move. Pinch myself every day that I get to live and work in paradise and compete against the great brands, the great sports in the world.
Now, Oklahoma, and I got my understanding that you did some, you studied as well at Duke University.
Yeah.
So you have Oklahoma. Are you a Sooner fan?
Sooner fan, yeah.
Are you a Sooner fan over anything?
Yes.
That is your heart and soul. Yeah. Is Sooner.
I love Duke basketball. If you said between Duke basketball or Sooner for football, it's going to be the Sooner. And I love football. I think college football is I love March Madness. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I love polo. There's something about college football that's just in my bones.
That's the Oklahoma in you coming out. You know, that's what it is. And I totally understand. I'm a Northeast guy, and Northeast, I mean, has a lot of college football presence, but it is college basketball country in a lot of ways. I'm a UConn fan. So, like, UConn football, I know it's just different strokes. But college football, did you grow up going to games? Did you grow up going to Norman?
Love going to games, absolutely.
You still try to get to games, you know, in ever since you've been down in South Florida?
Yeah, you know, I make a few. It's been harder and harder as things have gotten busier for me. But I watch them every chance I get on television. And the fact that they're in the SEC now, you get more opportunities. And it's
true. Especially around here.
Yeah, fun to watch SEC games anyway. And then you throw a Sooner Alabama match, and I'm going to watch that.
Now,
sometimes I DVR because you get emotional about it. You want to watch it afterwards.
That's fair. Skip the commercials. You don't want to drive yourself crazy. College football playoff this past year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a great start. What was it, 21-0? And then all of a sudden, it started cracking down from there. Is that still, you still waking up at night in a cold sweat thinking about that game?
Can't talk about it, Colin. We got to change stuff.
We got to move on.
We've never won a college football playoff game.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. One of the great games of all time was that 2017 Rose Bowl, Baker Mayfield against that Georgia team at... Yeah,
that we lost. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Excellent game, though. As a neutral fan, absolutely great adored game. watching it.
He played with the flu and had a big lead. We did the squib kick, and the rest is history.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
But, you know, I got to say, this college football season was really unique. And, you know, Indiana, I got my shout-out to them. I didn't believe they were the real deal, and each week they'd prove me wrong.
SEC in you. Yes.
Yeah, and then, you know, they Alabama beats us, they beat Alabama, but I just, you know, hats off to that coach and that team and those fans, and just, it just shows you, you know, never give up. You just never know what can happen, and just a great season, and I'm excited about March Madness right now. We got some fun stuff. Duke's going tonight. There's some good teams. We got Rick Pitino we're going against.
Uh-huh. And, a lot of great coaches.
A heck of a coach.
And one thing about college sports these days is there's now a bunch of different, you know, players involved now because of NIL. All of a sudden, there's good finance backing. Different teams can sort of enter the fold. St. John's is a good example of that.
Great example.
St. John's gets a big donor. They get a great coach. All of a sudden, the world is their oyster.
Yeah, and you know, he's still upset about that Kentucky game many years ago. So this will be worth watching. Just one thing on college sports I want to mention. I think this is really important. We also sponsor college polo teams.
Yes.
So when I first started, you know, I had that Nike lens. We'd worked with Duke and University of Oklahoma, all these great universities, football, basketball. And I asked, you know, what are we doing with the colleges? And we really hadn't started that platform. And as of today, and I'm really excited to share this, we have 70 collegiate polo teams that we sponsor all across North America, from big schools to small, private to public, Ivies to non-Ivies. It's a great, great experience. And half those teams are female teams as well. So what's cool about it is that we have the college student athletes. They design their own jerseys. Make it whatever you want it to be. We'll co-brand it with you. And we'll also give you some white pants, which you have to play in.
Yeah.
Polo shirts that match your
colors. But they get to handle all the design aspects.
They do it.
The aesthetics on their jersey.
They do it, and they love it. And we just had the national championship. So the University of North Texas in men's defeated Cornell. And the University.
How about those two fan bases coming together?
Is that fun?
Because the Ivies are always going to be great. How about North Texas having a great team?
Love it. And that's what's fun. Now that they've won, the football program will let them come on the field and celebrate with them the championship. And then USC Aiken out of South Carolina won the women's championship. And I think they beat Texas A&M. But, really fun. And that'll be on ESPNU in the next few weeks. So
that'll be great. We'll make sure to stay tuned for that. And make sure you stay tuned for all the great things going on in the sport of polo. Michael, we appreciate it. This was great.
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
So just to the audience, I brought something fun for Colin. So US Polo Assistant, we create our own limited edition rosé.
Which I saw this, and I... You what don't you guys do?
We do it all.
What don't you guys do?
And so he's very happy. He gave me a big man hug. But the rosé actually comes from polo fields in Virginia.
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. How about that?
It's got the
U.S. Polo ASSN right now. 135 years, 1890 to 2025, limited edition. My gosh.
It's
about the aesthetic. The aesthetic really works.
It's beautiful. And we do 1,000 limited edition bottles. He's got, I think, number like 918, so we're about to run out. But beautiful story, vineyard and wineyard at the polo fields, and the grapes come from there, and we're excited about it. The other thing we gave him, I just wanted to feel what a polo ball looks like. It's a plastic ball, and the players, imagine this, will be going 35, 40 miles an hour on a horse. hitting the ball at 110 miles an hour.
Unbelievable.
And it's an amazing thing to see. Sylvester Stallone has one of the great quotes of polo. He says, playing polo is like trying to hit a golf ball in the middle of an earthquake. Wow. And he was a polo player in Palm Beach.
Was he?
Yeah,
I know he was. He's right here in Palm Beach County. He's a native.
That's right, so he's a native. So fun fact, but Colin's got some nice gifts. And
I gotta practice a couple of skills before we could put it all together.
You got the game. You can do it.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. I appreciate you, first of all, for the wonderfully generous gifts. I mean, you've had a stellar career. You guys do such great work here with the BDB and with USPA. I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. This is going to be awesome on Sunday. And also when the championships come, the U.S. Open championships in about a month.
April 26th.
April 26th. Mark your calendars. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to talking again soon, Michael.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks, ESPN.
You got it. That's J. Michael Prince, the president, CEO, board member of the USPA Global. This is your BDB Business of the Month on ESPN West Palm.